The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
This message is going to be a foundational message, and I feel a little preachy today. I feel like preaching today, and so I didn't even want to write up notes because today's message is going to be the foundation of the rest of the weeks, and I want to lay a little foundation, and then we'll piggyback off of it, and then maybe over the next few weeks, we'll take some notes. Is that all right? So I'm just going to let you know, I want to stir your spirit today. I want to stir your spirit to pursue God a little bit more. And so I didn't want your head down too much today. I wanted you to talk back. I wanted you to enjoy your ride. Now, to lay the context of what I'm going to do, I'm going to take us on a journey. I'm going to take us on a story. And it might take a little bit of time to get there. We're going to land on one thought. Is that all right? So I'm going to Bishop Jakes this, I think, today. I'm going to give a title, and then I'm going to, like, start over here. I'm going to preach about a cow, but talk about a river. And then you're going to be like, what about the cow? And then finally be like, and the cow drank from the river. All right? So just so y'all know, I'm gonna start with a chapter, and I'm gonna read the chapter, and then I'm just going to sit it to the side. I'm going to go to another chapter. I'm going to spend a little bit of time there. And then I'm going to reference the chapter that I read at first, but I'm going to end in that chapter. Are you with me? So we're going to start at the chapter, but I don't want you to forget about the chapter or minimize the chapter because we want to end at the chapter, but I got to do a little work in the middle for the remaining weeks of the series. Are you with me? Taisha's like, yeah, taking you around the mountain, girl. John chapter 4 says this in verse 46 through 53. It says, so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Come on, Jesus. How many of y'all, yes, we don't think that Jesus sometimes tells, like, stern things, do we? We always think that Jesus is always like, hey, how you doing? But Jesus right here looks at the man and he says, unless y'all people see signs and wonders, y'all aren't going to believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, are you coming or not? I love the guy. He was like, Jesus, I hear that, but are you coming or not? Said, my son is about to die. And Jesus said, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went on his way. And as he was going, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then the man inquired of them what hour the son got better, and they said, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And the man himself believed, and his whole household. Pause, just so you know, the man left and he believed. But when the man heard the results, the Bible says he himself believed and his whole house. You got that? Yep. Let's sit that aside because I don't have time to deal with that part just yet. Go to John chapter 2, 1 through 8. And it says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Pause, just so we know. I thought it was really cool that Jesus' mama went to the wedding. Jesus went to the wedding, and Jesus had his friends. That shows us that Jesus is not just religious. He's relational. Like, so when we think of Jesus as just being Savior, he is. But Jesus had friends, y'all. Jesus was so friendly, he got invited to the wedding, right? So Jesus wasn't so strange being Jesus that they didn't feel comfortable enough to hang out with Jesus. So let me just pause real fast and say, let us not be too spiritual to where we can't hang out with our friends. Okay? Like, when, the glory of the Lord is with me. Yes, it is. It is. But go have a meal, okay? Go have a meal with your friend. That shows us that Jesus was spiritual and relational at the same time. Like, I read that and I was like, oh, okay. Jesus was cool enough to where they were like, yo, when you invite everybody, don't forget about Jesus. And he got Peter and them. Don't forget about them. Invite him too. So as we're going through life, Jesus is so relational. So when we're serving and we're worshiping Jesus, just go, hey, Jesus, how you doing today? Because he's relational. Sorry, y'all. I just thought that was cool. That was it. Nothing special. Watch. So it goes on to say, so Jesus is there at the party. Verse 3, and it says, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, this is Mary, there is no wine. Jesus says to her, almost like he said to the guy earlier, woman, just so y'all know, if I said that to my mom, the teeth that you would see right now would all be veneer. You know, anybody else got like that? You talk back to your mom, concussion. You know what I mean? So Jesus looks at his mom and he says, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Pause. Jesus does this before he's baptized. Holy Spirit descends and he's endued with power. We talked about the Holy Spirit in our old school series where we said the Holy Spirit endues us with power. Jesus is like, hey, time clock hasn't started yet. This is what mama says. She looks at him and she's like, you say what to me, boy? That's how I read it. This is what she says. She says, okay, since Jesus ain't paying attention, she looks at the servants and she says, whatever my son tells you to do, you go ahead and do, okay? Why? Because Mary had already had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, okay? Y'all, I'm preaching already. I'm not raising my voice, though, because I got to keep my energy. She has an encounter with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has already said that Jesus was going to be placed in her by the power of the Holy Spirit. Watch now. So she's already flowing in the Holy Spirit because Jesus is a result of her walking with the Holy Spirit, right? So Jesus says, woman, this ain't my time. She's like, oh, what you don't know is that I've already clicked into the Holy Spirit and we're just going to give a little taste of what your future going to look like right now. Because I've already been walking with the Holy Spirit. You waiting for the Holy Spirit. Don't worry, he gonna come. But your mama say right now, boy, we need something to do. You got that? Now, that wasn't all in the text. But I'm just saying, Mary's walking with the Holy Spirit. So when she's like, hey, Jesus, I need you to shift the atmosphere. She's not doing that because they're void of wine. She's doing that because she knows the power of her son. It could have been little Joey broke his foot. Little Joey broke his foot. Jesus might have said, well, what should I do about it? She's going to say, listen, whatever Jesus tell you to do about Joey's foot, you do about Joey's foot. All I know is that when the Holy Spirit empowered me with Jesus, Jesus was going to walk in power and he's going to give you a little taste today. So back to the scriptures. Do whatever my son tells you to do. Watch. Now there were 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews. Let me tell you what this is, y'all. This is a sink. This is where they used to wash themselves. This is their washing bowl. So Jesus, there's 6 sinks, washing bowls containing 20 to 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, notice that Jesus did it, y'all. There was no, after they said, do what it says. Jesus says, okay, fill the water pots with water. They filled them to the brim, and then Jesus said, draw out some now, take them to the master of the feast, and they took. And the Bible says, the story goes on to say that it was the best wine that they had because the master says, oh, normally they give it first, but you waited to the end. Jesus is involved in both of these stories. Jesus has a little curt moment in both of these stories. The response of the people in both of these stories seems contrary to what Jesus was really asking them or telling them. They heard what Jesus had said, but they responded in a way that was still enacting their level of faith. They heard like this pause, I don't know if I'm ready to do this sort of thing yet, or pause, do you not believe yet? And their immediate instinct was I pushed myself to have this moment with you. Therefore, I have to make sure that what I came for, that's what I want to get. You with me? So Jesus is like, hey, my time is not yet. Mama says, listen, whatever he says to do, let's go ahead and get it done. In the first story, Jesus says, oh, how many times do I have to do these miracles and y'all still don't believe? The guy looks at him and shakes it off and says, so you coming or not? There has to be a level of faith on the inside of us. When it seems like it's a no, it's actually still a yes. Why? Because we've seen him be faithful in the past, which means he will be faithful in the present. And sometimes you and I will go to Jesus. We work there to get to Jesus. And it seems like it's a no. And we go, well, I guess he's not coming. But we have to have this posture, not because we're mad at Jesus, but maybe Jesus is like seeing if we have faith enough to believe just his word. Right? So there's this interaction of, you don't really believe yet unless I'm doing something for you. Then there's this woman, what do you want me to do? And both of the people are like, you need to respond. The response is still the same. In the first scripture that I gave, Jesus goes, okay, go your way. Go your way. Your son's done. In the second one, Jesus is like, hey, get the 6 water buckets and let's get something done. Here is what I want to focus on over the next few weeks. Is I realize that in the first story, when Jesus does his first miracle, Jesus felt like his time wasn't now, but yet he still responded. And Jesus didn't do anything of a grand nature. If you notice, Jesus used what they had that seemed insignificant. It was dirty. It was filthy. But he used what they had. It said that they had 6 water pots that were used to wash themselves. And Jesus says, you know what? That will do. Jesus uses what they viewed as being insignificant, it's a dirty thing. And Jesus says, when I put it to work, it'll actually impact others. So here's the thought that I had that today, I realized that Jesus will use what we have, but he will never ask us to use what we don't have. Jesus will never ask us to use what we don't got. He will never ask us to reach for something that we don't already possess. Inside of our home, inside of our life, there is something that will unlock the answer to the need that we have. Maybe you and I are searching for the answer and it could already be in our possession. I wonder if the thing we've overlooked is the thing that Jesus really wants to use. Anybody sitting in a place this morning where you need Jesus to feel something? I wonder if you already have it. I wonder if the thing that Jesus really needs is already in our possession, but we view it as a dirty thing or an insignificant thing. I've got these 6 water pots. This morning, I want to talk from the subject of Jesus won't ask me to use anything that I don't got, but Jesus will ask me to use what I got. Now, this is where it gets a little funny because the first text I have to come back to, and this is where I have to Bishop Jakes this. Because I'm in a text right now in Cana of Galilee where Jesus is using water pots. But there's a theme here that I found runs throughout Scripture. I find throughout Scripture that Jesus is always using the thing that we overlook. We overlook the subtleties of things that Jesus says, oh, I can work with that. He will never ask us for what we don't got, bad English, but he will ask us to use what we do have. So if you're taking notes, I have a question for you. I want you to write down what you don't got. Write down a couple of things. I don't got my job that I want. I don't got a lot of money. I don't got, because here's the thing. These are the places that we're always asking Jesus to fill. I don't have my health. I don't have my promotion. I don't have the marriage that I want. I don't have the, and so we're also always going, Jesus, handle this. So I want you to write it down. I don't have any more wine. I don't have the health for my son. The 2 stories that we read. Now, as we continue through service, I want you to think about something that you may have overlooked in your life, because that's where we're going to end, and that's where we're going to finish by the time this series is over. Are you ready to take the journey? I'm going to show you that God has a way of using what we can sometimes overlook to produce miracles. Exodus chapter 4, 1-4 says this, "Then Moses answered and said, 'But suppose they will not believe me, or listen to my voice, suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you.' So the Lord said to him, what do you have in your hand? And Moses said, I got this rod. And the Lord said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Watch now, Moses fled from the thing that was already in his hand. When God put his little touch on it, Moses withdrew even more. Watch now. So he says this, Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said, Moses, reach out and grab the thing that you already had in your hand the whole time. And when Moses touched it again, it became a rod. What do you have in your house already that if God puts just a little touch on it, that it will become something that could begin to build your faith? Moses, having a rod all of his life, encounters him in a burning bush, taking it with him everywhere he's going. And the whole time, the thing that God could use, he had been using as a crutch the whole time. Maybe he was using it to pull back the sheep, and he never thought that God could use the insignificant thing. We wrote down what don't we have, but I wonder what we have in our house. Some of us can cook like nobody's business. Cook like out of this world. Have we ever asked God, God, how can you use my cooking ability? Or have we just said, oh, that's just something I got from my mama. Some of us can work on cars, communicate, work finances. I wonder if you said, God, what can you do with this if you put your touch on it? Because it's insignificant. Oh, you listen. I'm good with sports. I'm not a good athlete anymore. But I wonder, at my age right now, with the passion of sports and knowing sports, I wonder if I said, at my age, even though I'm a pastor, if I said, Lord, how can you use that? I wonder if me coaching little Joey and Noah and David, I wonder if one person would meet Jesus because I kicked the ball. I'm just saying, sometimes you got to use what you got. I wonder if the thing that you have in your house that you've overlooked at sometimes is just you can do that thing, if God's like, that's your breakthrough. But we're holding out and we're asking God to give us the wine. And God's like, what you got in your house? When was the last time you did an inventory of some of the things that God's put in you? When was the last time you did an inventory of some of the talents that you got? Some of the skills that you got? That's a question. You should write it down. When was the last time? Because there are things in your possession already that God's like, if they would just ask me, I showed them what they got in their house. That's the thing that the Lord has spoken to Ty and I about our church. Because there's things that we want to do. And sometimes I'll be praying. I'll be like, Lord, I thank you for sending them. I thank you for sending the resources. And as I was studying this message, the Lord said, Damon, have you asked me who's in the house? Have you asked me the resources already sitting in the seat? Have you asked me the skills and the talents and the gifts already in the house? Damon, have you asked me for an inventory? Y'all are quiet. I'm going to give you another one. 2 Kings chapter 4, 2 through 5. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Man, have you noticed that a lot of people are just really curt? What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? And she said to Elisha, your maidservant has nothing. I have nothing. She said nothing, y'all. But watch her response. She says, I have nothing in the house but a jar of oil. I have nothing in the house. This ain't significant. I got a little bit of oil in the house. I ain't got nothing. Have you ever said I ain't got nothing, but then you got a little butt afterwards? Yep. I ain't got nothing but a few dollars left. I ain't got nothing. But in her mind, the oil represented nothing. But Elisha said, what do you have in your house already that you may have overlooked? She says, I've got a little jar of oil, and that's it. It ain't nothing. This is what Elisha said. Give it to me. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to put the power of God's touch on it. When you start pouring it out, you got to read it. It's going to produce more than when you thought it was insignificant. So I ask you again, City Place, what is it that you may have in your house that you haven't presented to the Lord yet that he could use to bring about the change that you and I need? I know we need a miracle, but can it be already in the house? What if we used what we got? The jar of oil, go borrow vessels everywhere from your neighbors, empty vessels. And then he says this to her, he says, and don't just get a few, because I know the mentality of people sometimes. You'll think one's enough. Say, go ask every single person, because when God uses something inside of your house, you won't be able to contain it. He's going to do it in such a way to where it's going to blow your mind, and it's been sitting there the whole time. So the Bible says that she went in, she grabbed it, she shut the door, and then she began to pour, and she set aside the full ones. She set aside the full ones. She poured out the oil. And the Bible says that she went, and she just began to use the oil and use the oil and use the oil and use the oil. There are gifts in you and I's house that are untapped. There are things, skills that God has put on the inside of you that will produce the breakthrough in our life that we want. This is November. November, we celebrate Thanksgiving. I wonder if we could shift this Thanksgiving and say, God, I'm grateful for what I got. Can you put that to work? I know I've got a void. I got a son. Coming back to it, I promise. And I ain't got no wine. Story number one. I ain't got no wine. I ain't got no wine. I ain't got no wine. Jesus says, give me the 6 water pots. He didn't even send them to 7-Eleven. You and I would have been like, hey, you know, we ain't got no wine. Why don't you guys run over to the ABC store? Because y'all know how it is. I'm using the wine just so y'all know in the story. Run over to the store and you go get it. Jesus does something. He says, use what you got. Use what you got. You're running around all over these places, and what you need for your breakthrough in your own home is right here. Use what you got. Go get the 6 water pots. Fill them up with water. Use the water that you already got. The water that you got was insignificant. Use what you got. And the Bible says that they use what they got, and it produces the miracle. I showed you the story in Moses. Moses walking with the staff. Moses is walking with the staff. It's been insignificant the whole time. God, how are they going to know that you're for me? What do you got? I've just got this staff. Then let's put it to work. Throw it down. Let me show you how powerful it is in my hand when it's in your hand. What else do you got? I ain't got nothing but a jar of oil. Well, let me see what I can do with it. Go get some vessels. Pour it out. Miracle. Use what you got. Jesus will not ask you to use what you don't got, but he will ask you to use what you got. Inventory. What do you have? What do we have in this room? In this room, there is enough power in this room to literally save our whole community. In this room, if we shared Jesus, we could literally change the world. Jesus did it with 12. You gonna change the world with 12? I had to use what I got. The whole world, 120 people in an upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit. You're going to change the world with 120? I have to use what I got. Y'all all right? I wrote this down if you're taking notes. My greatest asset could be what I overlook the most. My greatest asset could be what I overlook the most. It's in there. In our house, it's in there. There is something that will produce breakthrough in our life, I guarantee it. It's all throughout Scripture. He uses an insignificant boy named David to throw 5 stones that he had put in his bag. He threw one. He used it. It's all throughout the Word of God. He used 300 people with a man named Gideon. He used a little girl named Esther. He uses what he got. What's in your hand? Because We will ask ourselves, what are my obstacles? We will tell ourselves what I really need is. We will say, my problem is. But very few times will we ask, what's already in my hand? I spend a lot of times going, this is what I need. I got to get this. I got to do this. But I do. But I spend the majority of my time focusing on the issue when I should be going, God, use what I got. Use what I got. It's amazing how the Lord can take a small seed and we get a tree. Really? It's amazing how the smallest of things produce the biggest of things. How Taisha's one phone call asking me out on a date changed her life forever. The little thing. So let's wrap this up. So John chapter 2, Jesus is in Galilee. He's at the wedding. He's hanging out because Jesus is relational. He's there. They say, Jesus, we have no wine. Jesus is like, you don't need to run to the store. You need to rub the Publix. You need to rub the 7-Eleven. You need to do anything like that. Use what you got. The Bible says that they use what they got, and the miracle happens because they responded to Jesus after Jesus was like, I'm not going to do this. It's not my time. Mama says, go ahead. They do it. Jesus is in Cana of Galilee. He does that miracle. They use what they got. In John chapter 4, it said that Jesus, if you read the first verse, it says that Jesus had returned to Galilee, the place where he had done his first miracle. In the place where Jesus had done his first miracle, there was an atmosphere for miracles. The author never writes anything without giving us an understanding that Jesus had been in an environment where miracles were before. So it says when Jesus returned to that place that he had already done something there. So there had to be a little bit of a history, not just of what Jesus had done outside of the city, but what Jesus had done in the city. So when Jesus returns to the city, there has already been a little marination of this boy named Jesus, because of what he had already done. So when you read that and it says Jesus returned, it has been a little bit of a rumbling already. So Jesus returns to the city, and it says that the man heard that Jesus was coming back to the city. Jesus comes to the city, and it says that when Jesus comes to the city, it says that the man chases Jesus down, and Jesus comes, and he's paused, and the man says, my son is dying. Jesus gives him this response of, if you don't see miracles, signs, and wonders, you don't believe. And I saw this and I was like, that's a little harsh. But here's what I felt like the Lord was telling me, is that Jesus was trying to communicate to the people that the miracles, that's not his ministry. The miracles, that's not his ministry. So when Jesus says, unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. Jesus was really saying to him, sir, the miracle is not my ministry. The miracle is the gateway to the Father. So when you've heard about that, the result that I'm trying to get, yes, I want them to receive healing. But the result that I'm trying to get is that they want to have a relationship with the Father. Because the miracle is the gateway to the Father. Are you with me? So Jesus' curt response is not because I don't want to do it. Jesus' response is, you've been listening the whole time, and really, your access point to the Father, you don't even need me. But since you're here, I just want you to know that unless you believe, unless you see signs and miracles, you won't believe. What he was saying is you want me, but you really don't want me. You want me for the miracle, but you don't want me because of the access of the Father. How many times have you and I wanted the prayer request answered because we wanted the prayer request answered? How many of us want the need met because we want Jesus? I mean, isn't it kind of like a catch-22? Like, I want Jesus, but I want, I mean, I need my need met, right? I mean, how many times do we sit in the place of, Jesus, I need this right here. When are you going to get to it? And Jesus is like, but unless you see like a miracle every week, like you don't believe that I'm going to be faithful like tomorrow? Like you asked me last week and I answered your prayer. And you're back this week and you feeling like I'm not going to do nothing? Like, so is our relationship going to be like a every week miracle thing? Or like, is this going to be like a relational thing? I don't know. I'm asking y'all the question. Because that's how we do. That's how we will live our Christian walk. It'll be from one request to the next. And we'll get mad and he'll be like, but unless I'm constantly doing stuff for you, you really don't believe. Like, the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing is so that you stay in love with the Father. Like, for real, like, me giving the miracles is not my ministry. Like, I'm Jesus, the one that died for you so that you can have access to the Father. Like, are y'all with me? Yeah. We can sit in the proverbial list with Jesus, and maybe sometimes the pause in the immediate answer is he's like, so another sign and wonder? You don't believe that I'm going to answer it yet? I'm not saying he's like that. I'm just asking the question. That was in John chapter 4, and that's where we're finishing up. I wrote, miracles should increase my faith and desire to meet with the Father. Like, it shouldn't increase my faith to get the next thing at a greater level. Do you know what I mean? Like God giving me the job shouldn't increase my faith so that my friend could just be saved. That's going to happen. But God giving me the job should increase my faith to be in his presence so that when I'm in his presence, I know that he's going to handle my family's salvation. Are you with me? It shouldn't be from me going from this one to running over to this need to running over to that need. No. When God does something for me, I should be in. Man, thanks, Dad. See, I wrote this. So the guy talking to Jesus, Jesus is like, unless I come, unless I'm doing signs and wonders, you don't believe. And the guy's like, he shakes it off. He's like, Jesus, you coming or not? Jesus says this to him. He says, go your way, your son's healed. And this is what the man does. The man says, thank you, Jesus, I'm gone. And it says this, and the man believed. As he's walking home, it says that his servants come running out saying, your servant is healed. Your son is healed. The Lord spoke to me because I was like, Lord, what did he use? The minute Jesus said, your son's healed, he used what measure of faith he had and said, what you just said was enough. I'm gone. If it was me, I could be like, but Jesus, I done walked from where I was. Jesus, you're right in front of me. Listen, you done gone over to their house. You may not have come. Listen, you went over to their house. You done this. 5,000 people, all these different things. I could have given him the run of the mill of what he may have done for somebody else or what he may have done for me in the past. But this man said, your word is enough. I'm going to use what I got. And that's faith in what you just said. I'll see you next time. And the Bible says that the man used the faith that he had, started walking, and as he's walking on what he had, he didn't have anything. He didn't have a bottle. He didn't have a car to take Jesus. All he had was the faith in what Jesus spoke. And he goes, I'm gone. As he's gone in the faith, using the faith that he had, just a little bit of faith, because Jesus ain't coming, y'all. So he's like, whatever you just said, Jesus, let's go. He don't know how it's going to turn out. Jesus has told him he was healed. So he just starts walking in what he had, which was his faith, and on his way. They say, hey, just so you know, your son's healed. Well, when did it happen? About 7. Oh, that's the same time I used what I had. That's the exact same time when Jesus said, you can go on home. And I said, I think I'm going to use my faith on this one. So if he can't make it, I'm just going to receive the word that he's told me. I'm out of here. So I'm going to use my faith on this one. When it seemed like he may not be coming with me, I'll just use my faith. That's all I'm going to use on this one. So he takes his faith, and the Bible says that when he takes his faith, walks home, miracle happened the same time. I say all of that to say that Jesus was in a place the first time for the miracle. There was an atmosphere in Cana already. He got asked, hey, you gonna do this? I don't know if I'm gonna do this. Do what he says. What do he got? We got 6 water pots. Let's put them to work. He puts them to work. Miracle. Atmosphere. There's a rumble. Oh my goodness, when Jesus is around, things happen. Jesus goes out, starts doing his thing. Jesus is like, oh, you know what? I don't know if this happened or not, but we should go back to Cana. He goes back to Cana, and the guy is like, oh, wait a second, Jesus is coming back. You know, that's the guy that did the water to the wine thing. He's also been healing some other people along the way. I'm going to go run to Jesus. And when I see Jesus, because my son is sick, I'm going to ask Jesus to heal my son because Jesus has been doing miracles. So he gets to Jesus. He tells Jesus, Jesus, this is what's going on. Jesus is like, listen, man, unless you believe, oh, come on, man, how many times? Look, you coming? I'm not coming. Your son's already healed. Go home. Okay. I'm going to use what I got. Miracle done in Cana. Use what he had. John chapter 4, the man used what he had. Some of us may not have all the resources, but you might have a little bit of faith left. Let's finish the story. So it says that Jesus, this man's son, gets healed. It says that his son, the servants come, run over, and they say, your son's healed. Your son's healed. What time did it happen? 7:00. And it says this at the end. It says, and the man himself believed. Huh? And his house. He left believing, y'all. But when he saw that Jesus has healed his son, it increased his faith. Watch. And the faith of his house. When Jesus does something in our life, our faith in who Jesus is should rise. I don't have to run back to him all the time for the miracle. I believe. So the man said, my faith is going to increase even more. And you know what? Everybody in this house, we're going to believe together. Why? Because I used what I had. And I'm going to use what I have, and I'm going to let God grow it. It says that his faith grew. Final thought. Worship team, you can come up. Watch this. The foundation of every story is the presence of the Lord and his word. The presence of the Lord and his word. When you read throughout scripture, you'll find the presence of the Lord and his word. No matter what, even if he's walking, if Jesus is there, there's always something that he said or something that he did. Even if the physical Jesus was there, there's always something that he said or something that he did. So the presence of the Lord was there in his word. Get up. Take up your bed. Taisha talked about it last week. Take up your mat and walk. It's something. The presence of the Lord and his word. In this room today, there is the presence of the Lord and his word. It goes throughout every story. When Jesus asked the man had to compare Jesus' word with his request. Go, your son's fine. The man had to take what he had and go, that applies to my request. It's done. You and I, in our life, have the word of God. Jesus' word builds our faith. His word builds our faith. Miracles will happen, absolutely. But his word builds our faith. The results of his word will increase it. The result of his word will increase it. But the initial word builds it. The result increases my faith. Hey, I believe I'm going home. Hey, the miracle happened. Oh, I believe even more. And my family believes as well. Use what you got. It started off in Cana with a little bit of wine. Story continues in Cana with a man using his faith. Use what you got. As you go home today, and as you go throughout your week, we've all got circumstances, situations, a prayer request, all those different things. But I want to challenge us as we go through the month of November to put the list aside. Put the list aside. He already sees it. I want to challenge us to go, Father, what do I have in my house that you can use? And then when he starts showing you what you got, thank him for it. Praise him for it. Because that could be the very thing that brings about the request that you asked him of. Do an inventory. Thank him for the fact that you can cook, you can handle money, you can do whatever it is that's in your house. You can communicate, whatever it may be, I don't really know. But give God praise for that because it could be the very thing that brings the request fulfilled that you've been praying for. Are you with me? Use what you got. Next week, we're going to build upon it a little bit more, and we've got a special guest coming to hang out with us. I'm going to preach a little bit, and then I want to show you Mariana. Mariana, she runs Streams in the Desert Ministry in Israel. It's been the ministry that we've been sowing into. And right now, she is slated to be in the United States. And we wanted to just, we were like, hey, if you're here, we would love for you to meet our church because we wanted you to see what our little offering is doing in Israel. Our church gives 1% of our kingdom finances to Israel. I want you to see what we are doing and the impact that it's making. We're just using what we got. And so she's here, and we're going to ask her about the things that's taking place in Israel. And I want you to just see what using what you got looks like. Is that all right? I also want you to see, can you put up what our kingdom finances has been doing? This is us giving 10% of our kingdom finances as you're tithing in God's house. This is just using what we've got. Okay? Now, somebody else, they're doing it at their level. But for us, we've been sowing every single month 1% of our kingdom dollars to Israel. There's only 3% of the nation, the place where Jesus walked, that actually have a relationship with Jesus himself. The place where Jesus walked, nothing to do with Jesus. And so we're supporting them so that people can receive the gospel. Listen, in America, we could have on a weekend 5, 10, 20 people receive Jesus. They go crazy when a person meets Jesus. Because it takes literally a year to get a Jewish person to come into full relationship with Jesus because they risk their whole life. If she's able to continue to come through next week, for sure. We've given $2,000 to the Bahamas. We partner with Christ Fellowship. Our goal is $3,000. We're $1,000 away. We're going to hit that. That's from our kingdom finances. We gave $500 to the floods in Texas. We've been planting churches through ARC, one of the organizations that helped us plant. Last week, you all as a church filled 100 blessing bags. That's 100 individuals in our community that's going to have something to snack on, some fresh socks, water. If they're living in a homeless environment right now, 100. Now, others might be doing thousands. We're just using what we got. We're just using what we got. We've served multiple times this year at the Ronald McDonald House. We have a family in our church that their son was born premature, and they were the recipient of a gift from Ronald McDonald House. And when we told them that we were doing it, they were like, oh, that's so amazing because ours. And I didn't know that they were sitting in the church. We're just using what we got. We're just using what we got. And we've just committed as a church that, Lord, we're going to use what we got. And as it continues to grow, we're going to use what we got. And the more and more, we're going to use what we got. And so this week, I'm going to be saying, Holy Spirit, what else do you have that you would like for us to use? And I want you to do the same. When you go home, God, what gift is on the inside of me? What talent, whatever it may be, the Holy Spirit would have you do. What can you use that I already have? Are you with me?
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or, if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.